I want to continue on this morning with the theme of the month is to find your joy. And we just experienced a little bit of that just now. We read last week, we read Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4, if you remember right. And excuse me, as I was going through the office this morning, I came across some stuff on the copy machine that happened to be out of Philippians 4:4, but it was out of a different translation. They're using this in the Kids Rock. Yeah, I'm sorry, kids can't be released. And I read this and I thought, wow, because their theme this month is joy also. Here's how it says, and it doesn't say what translation this is. It says, always be joyful because you belong to the Lord. I will say it again, be joyful. Isn't that a good way to put it? Always be joyful just because you belong to the Lord. And again, I will say, just be joyful. And I believe that that's what the Lord desires for us, is that we learn how to find our joy. There's a section in our nation's foundational documents that say this here. It says, we are endowed by our Creator with certain inalienable rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of what? The pursuit of happiness. How many know that we have really capitalized on that one? Just that pursuit of happiness. I mean, we just seem to, in America, you know, we've been greatly blessed, but man, have we pursued happiness. Maybe to an extreme, huh? How many think maybe sometimes it's just to a bit of an extreme where that seems to be the focus of the American dream? You know, it used to be maybe a little different, but it's kind of turned to where it's just, you know, what's going to make me happy? How am I going to be happy? Happy, happy, happy. And of course, you know, I guess what else should we expect? We put it in our founding documents, huh? That we should do this. And now we're doing that very well. So we passed the test, you know, on that. And so I want to talk a little bit more this morning about the joy. I want to do a brief review, read a couple different scriptures. And I want to ask you this morning to ask yourself, not about the pursuit of happiness, but what about the pursuit of joy? How joy-filled are you? Because the Bible says in Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 10, as we read, it says that the joy of the Lord is our strength. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And the definition of that particular word, and we looked at this last week, is it's a place or means of safety, protection, refuge. It's a stronghold for us. So in other words, the joy is something that's very critical and very important for my everyday life. It's a protection for me. It's a covering. That's just exactly what Nehemiah is saying. It's a protection. It's a covering. It's a refuge for me. It's a place where I can find these things from the Lord. And I want to pray because I want, I just know we need to catch this, because when times get tough around us, happiness doesn't do it. How many know that? But joy, according to the Word of God, can change the circumstances. And maybe it's just that it's a situation where by putting on the joy or releasing the joy of the Lord in your life, it creates this canopy of protection, because God doesn't always take circumstances away, does he? Sometimes he takes us through things, I have found. I'd rather he didn't do that, but sometimes he does, doesn't he? And so when that does happen, how are you going through it? Are you going through it in your own strength, or are you tapping into the resource and the clear resource from the Lord called joy for this? And so let's pray, and let's ask the Holy Spirit to just quicken us this morning. Father, I thank you this morning for the Word of God and the power of it. I pray this morning, God, that as it was given by inspiration, that we would receive it by that this morning. We would understand it in the very same atmosphere and power that it was spoken. And I pray this morning for every person in this room. There may be some that just need, God, that refuge, that stronghold, that covering. I pray this morning that it would be released inside of their life. God, you are our God, and you are faithful, and you are good. And I thank you for your word this morning. Bless it in Jesus' name. Amen. We said last week that joy is different than happiness. Joy would be something that would come more from the outside. It would come from the outside. Happiness comes from the outside, not from the inside. Joy comes from the inside because it's a characteristic of the God who is in you. Right? That's what it says. And it even says the kingdom that he's coming is the kingdom of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And so happiness falls into that category where it actually comes and goes. You know, if somebody came up to you this morning and gave you $100, you would be what? Very happy. Right? I forgot my wallet or I would have done it this morning. I would just come in just to prove my point. Does anybody have $100 I could borrow or have for another illustration another day? Anyway, but we realize that joy is an external thing, and it actually comes and goes, and it's based on what I have. It's based on what I get. And so your life becomes a roller coaster if you're basing it on happiness versus joy, which comes from the inside, and it's not based on what I get. It's based on who I know and who I have inside. And we're going to look at just a couple of things this morning about this, because my overall perspective after researching this out is that I believe if you are born again this morning, you have joy inside of you. Amen. If you're not experiencing it, if you're not walking in it, it's because you've allowed yourself to push it down. You've suppressed it. You know, the scripture says that we can suppress the truth. We can push it down inside of us. We can know it up here, but we push it down inside of us, and we don't walk it out. We don't let it come out. And because joy is something that is put within us at our salvation, then it's something that we must allow it to come out from within us. There's so much inside of you as a, you know, doesn't the Bible said that there's this hidden treasure that's in you? What is that? Paul calls it Christ in you, that hope of glory. Because life isn't going to make sense. Life isn't always going to go well because we live in a sinful world, right? He's still processing through. But yet he promises us this protection and this covering and this help through all of it, to where we make it through it, and we as maybe the Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego went through the fire, but they were not burned. And so, how do you know if you're living a life of joy or happiness? How do you know that? What gives you the right understanding of that? I just wrote a couple things down. I find that happiness is very moody. How many could agree with that? How many have met a few moody people? I mean, you know, it's just like, it's one minute they're all great, but the next minute they're, ooh, watch out, you said that wrong. I know, you said it the same way you said it the last time, but you said it wrong. You know what I'm saying? And so happiness, if I'm living off of happiness and I haven't learned to release joy, then I am going to be a moody person. You're really high one minute, and the next minute you're really low. Now, I understand there's a little, you know, there's, you know, life changes. It alters a little bit, but have you ever met anybody that's been really high? I mean, everything that they express is like, wow, out of this, when it's going well. This is, oh, amazing. But then the next time you see them and something didn't quite go their way, they're like suicidal. Have you ever met somebody? I have. It's like, wow, how did you get from there just yesterday to down there today? See, that's a challenge. I'm not... I was going to say, I'm not making fun of people. I guess I am, aren't I? But what I'm saying is that we have to recognize when this is happening, maybe something's wrong. Maybe I'm pushing the joy that could be my covering, my strength, my stronghold. I'm pushing it down. I'm not allowing it to have its work in me. And we talked a little bit about last week how it's actually even the fruit of the Spirit, right? Of a Spirit-filled life, the fruit of that would be righteousness, peace, joy. And many others, several others. And so God wants to come to his people now because, again, you know, we live in a sin-filled world. We live in this culture. And unless he raptures us out, we're here. Come on, some of you are going to get that in just about a minute. You're really here still. And so there's all kinds of stuff that's going on around us. And actually, when you read the scriptures, they were here too, weren't they? And they went through some very challenging things. And the ones that put their trust in the Lord were not moved. They became like Mount Zion. They couldn't be moved. But they abided forever. There was a strength there. There was a supernatural help there. There was a protection there. Yeah, Paul was beat up and snake bite and thrown in the fire, but God used it for his purposes. But look at what God did to protect him also. And we see this supernatural interaction going on. I think even Stephen, when he was stoned, I remember reading that story, and it was like, man, this poor guy, he's getting stoned to death for preaching the gospel. Maybe I want to change my calling. You know, I mean, you just got to think serious about this sometimes. And yet it said, while they were stoning him, the heavens opened. How many know he felt no more stones after that? I mean, it's just like, wow, this is amazing. That's the kind of protection that God offers. He doesn't always take us out of situation. He doesn't change everything. If you're living on happiness only, you're probably more prone to depression and all that comes with that. And I just wonder if maybe in the course of the journey, you know, we have so many emotional sicknesses now, don't we? I mean, there's just all kinds of them, and somebody just keeps making a drug that's supposed to help them. Right? I mean, there's a big industry right now just helping people that are depressed. I wonder, in particular for Christians, that we're pushing down the joy and we're becoming dependent and prone toward depressions and everything else that's floating around there in the world. Because you know something? I'm assuming that everybody is saved here. Okay, let me just assume that for a moment. Okay, I say assume it because you can come to church and not be saved. I've heard many of stories like that. Well, let's just assume you're all saved. Then should depression and oppression and all that comes with it be in your life? Now, let's just be honest. I'm just trying to be honest with us this morning. I'm not dogging anybody that may go through a season like that. I've been through those seasons. But you know what's gotten me out of those seasons? The Holy Spirit. And realizing that there's more inside of me. There's the joy of the Lord inside of me that begins to deal with this. I don't have to, and again, I know that I can, I know some of you might not be happy with this, but I don't always have to turn for drugs for all these things. And we've got a culture that turns to drugs for everything. There's more commercials about drugs on television than there is actually programs. Have you noticed that? I mean, there's so many commercials. And what are they all about? About everything that possibly could go wrong with you emotionally. And here's all the things that can go with it. And again, if you're struggling with some of these things and maybe you're on some stuff right now, don't feel condemned because I'm not doing that for that. But I think we need to point out the truth here. He says that his joy is going to be a stronghold, a refuge, a help for me. And I have to make sure that I haven't just walked away from that and suppressed the truth and found myself in the same position as the world can be in. Do you realize that you can pray and pray and pray for your finances, but if you do not manage your money well, you're probably still going to be broke? Right? It's the same thing, right? But we'll just keep praying and we just keep, oh God. But yet, we don't manage our money. And it's the same thing, I think, with about anything in life. if we don't come back and say, well, God, this is your truth about this. How do I get a hold of it? And there's just tons of scriptures about everything about our lives. And I just wonder if maybe there's a few more Christ followers who are on drugs for depression that just might not need it if the joy of the Lord broke loose inside of them. Can I get a little healthier amen than that? And again, I understand these things can be painful. But we got to somehow say, God, what does this mean? And until I come face to face with it, I might walk around it a lot and end up in all these positions with the rest of the world. Because the Bible does say you're actually, people's hearts are going to fail in the last days. Right? Well, we live in the world where those hearts are failing. If we're not doing something, we're going to end up maybe failing with them. A little bit louder amen for me this morning. Cheer me on just a little bit here. You're all looking depressed. We're selling prescriptions on the way out. No, just teasing. I am so sorry. I should have said that. Okay. The Bible, it says this. And you guys, I want you to finish this with me. A merry heart does good. Come on, what's that there for? That's there for a reason, isn't it? God, a merry heart is going to do me good just like a medicine. Now, how many believe that that's really, really true, or maybe God was just trying to comfort us? I mean, this is true, isn't it? But yet somehow we can just kind of walk past that. And I'm wanting to challenge us up during this season of finding our joy. It's in here. It's already in you as a believer. Find your joy and begin to let it come out and let it begin to do what it's supposed to do. Your heart does good like a medicine. A person that is probably living on joy would see the cup as half full in everything they do. That's the way you'd look at life. I hate to pick on people, but I will anyway. I just love Ralph and Mildred Carroll. How many know they're a cup half full couple? You just talk to them anytime, and man, they got it. And if you start talking negative around them, man, they'll cut your tongue off. Bible says if it offends you, cut it off. They'll do it for you. Right. It is really amazing the difference that it can make. A person that's living in joy, challenges are just an opportunity to overcome. In other words, oh God, what are you going to do? What are you going to do with this, God? Look what I'm facing. Now, what are you going to do? Who was it? Somebody told me something just yesterday. Oh, that's terrible. Judy was telling me, remember your testimony about your tires. You know, they went to the store and they, you know, what'd you call it? The $400 oil change or something like that? you know, you go to those tire places and they get you there with a good, or the oil change places, they get you there with a good deal on the oil change. But man, by the time you get out, I've never come out of any of those places without a bill of at least $400 worth of needs in my car. How about you? You know, they just give all these needs. Well, they did that. They told her she needed tires and they did. And so she went and she got the tires all done and knew what it was supposed to cost. And it was, what, $100 less or something like that? It was about $100 less. And she said, well, this doesn't look right. And the guy said, somebody paid $100. Isn't that correct? Am I getting the story somewhat right? Boom, just out of the blue, you know. Remember Jeremy and Amy Skinner? She was in line the other day at the store, and somebody was behind her, and she had all these groceries all stacked up and ready to pay for it, and the guy just said, hey, can I just pay for that for you? Boom, you know, awesome. It was an awesome thing. And so how do you see challenges? How do you see challenges? Jesus warned us that Satan has come in John chapter 10:10. He's come to do what? To steal, kill, and destroy. And I might just throw in there, to steal your joy is what he wants to do. Because if he can do that, Look at what he's accomplished. Look what he's stole from you. Look what he's robbed from you by simply stealing your joy. You've seen it. Okay, let's read this here. It's going to be up on the PowerPoint. I'd like to just read a story. How many remember who Solomon is? You know, the great king, right? Remember, he's supposed to be the wisest king in the world. And he was, but sometimes he was a little stupid too. He used his wisdom wrong, I guess, maybe, okay? But I want you to hear this because it's written for a reason for us to draw from. And just listen to the story. It really talks about this whole concept of happiness. Especially if you're younger, you really need to listen to this. Because you can either believe it or and not live that way, or you can not believe it and go the other route. Listen to this here. Ecclesiastes chapter 2, and we should have that up there. I said to myself, come on, let's try pleasure. And that word pleasure there is also joy. It's the same word if you go to the Hebrew. Let's look for the good things in life. Does that sound like pursuit of happiness? But I found that this too was meaningless. So I said, laughter is silly. What good does it do to seek pleasure? After much thought, I decided to cheer myself with wine. Anybody here turned to wine yet? No, just teasing, don't answer that. And while we're still seeking wisdom, I clutched at foolishness. In this way, I tried to experience the only happiness most people find during their brief life in this world. Wow, what a statement. I also tried to find meaning by building huge homes. He must have heard of our declaration, huh? Pursuit of happiness. Building huge homes for myself and by planting beautiful vineyards. I made gardens and parks and filling them with all kinds of fruit trees. I built reservoirs to collect the water to irrigate my many flourishing groves. I bought slaves, both men and women, and others were born into my household. I also owned large herds and flocks and more than any of the kings who had lived in Jerusalem before me. I collected great sums of silver and gold and treasure of many kings and provinces. I hired wonderful singers, both men and women, and I had many beautiful concubines. I had everything a man could desire. So I became greater than all who had lived in Jerusalem before me. Remember, Jerusalem was supposed to be the spiritual center of the world. And now we've got a King Solomon living in this fashion. And my wisdom never failed me. Verse 10, anything I wanted, I would take. I denied myself no pleasure. I even found great pleasure in hard work, a reward for all my labors. But as I looked at everything I had worked so hard to accomplish, it was all so meaningless. It was like chasing the wind. There was really nothing worthwhile anywhere. Wow. What an amazing statement. That was his pursuit of happiness. That was his pursuit of happiness. He was after happiness in life. And I wonder sometimes as I read that and read that again, it's like, wow. Well, that just sounds a lot like we could fit into some of those slots, doesn't it? It's like, wow, I just wanted to pursue this thing. I will remind you that when he did die, if you read Ecclesiastes, I'm pretty sure it's chapter 13. At the end of his life, his last words on his deathbed were, listen, hey, the whole matter of everything, he's referring to his entire life of everything, the most important thing is to fear God and keep his commandments. Now, he wasted his life before he got to that point. But that's written for you and I to glean from, to understand what are we pursuing? Are we pursuing the American dream and happiness, or are we looking for the Lord's joy to come up inside of us and do what it was meant to do? David writes this in Psalm 16 and verse 11. Psalm 16 and verse 11. It says, you will show me the path of life, and in your presence is the fullness of what? And at your right hand, there are pleasures forever more. I love that. And again, back to what we were talking about, and when you come into the service here on a Sunday morning, in his presence, you should receive something. If you're overwhelmed, if you're having challenges, whatever it might be, you come into his presence and let the fullness of his joy fill you back up. I've just seen so many times where people just neglect that and they ignore that. And they realize, well, we're not going to do that. We'll stay home from church today. I remember once, and I'll say it because I don't even anywhere close here anymore, but an elder of this church once walked home because they were so upset about a little thing. It was a little thing, I'm telling you. It was something to do with chairs. And left and walked home all the way home before service started. And I thought, when I heard that, I thought, are you kidding me? What in the world? You should have stayed inside and let your joy be filled back up, boy. But that's what we do. The devil wants to run you off from the very place that we need to be to get his presence and to get his help. It's just like the devil to separate the young sheep or to separate the sheep away from the pack so he can pounce on them. Isn't that right? Sometimes that happens to us. We have to be careful. We have to go. We have to have fellowship. We have to stay with one another to have that relationship. But the Lord says he wants to show you the fullness of his presence and of his joy. I want to just briefly go through some unique characteristics of, I call it joy emissaries or joy bearers, okay? And I want you to just take note of some of these and see if maybe you're applying them to your life or maybe you could start applying them to your life. And sometimes some of these things are actually a little bit mechanical. And sometimes we think they're so silly that we decide we're not going to do them. That's what I've found. Sometimes we think, ah, it's just silly. That's not going to make a difference. Well, let me just tell you, there's a lot of things, little things that make a difference. There's a lot of little foxes that destroy your vine, too. And there's just a lot of little things sometimes that we can do as a believer that can make a complete difference. And I want to just share a few of those. This is what a joy bearer would carry, a joy emissary would have in their life. The first one is this: joy bearers strike negative words from their vocabulary. Start getting rid of the negative words, because every negative word that you say first attacks your own ears. And faith comes by hearing. So maybe you're creating some negative faith things happening here. Just by what you're saying, you just keep letting the negative words. And I've been in seasons where I get like that. Has anybody else been there where you just all of a sudden you catch yourself and you realize, man, I've just been negative? Come on, this is never good to lie in church. I promise you, that's worse than being negative. But you know what I mean? All of a sudden you just kind of, oh, man, I have been really negative about everything. Everything seems to be half empty. It's all bad. Sometimes I'll even say that to my wife. It's all bad. It's all falling apart. It's never. That's negative talking. I got to eliminate that from my vocabulary. How many can say amen to that? Amen. It's important. The Bible says a lot about words. I can't. I don't think it says in the Bible that won't is in there. Can't isn't in there. Never isn't in there. You just don't find that in the Bible. We just need to learn how to guard our words, because it could be that I'm suppressing my joy, pushing it down. Joy bearers are not limited by the tangible. Joy bearers are faith people. In other words, when you see something that isn't the way it's supposed to be, then all of a sudden your faith rises up. You don't go into depression. You don't get negative. You don't start, oh, woe is me. But you begin to say, hey, God, I'm going to let you arise, and you're going to cause all your enemies to scatter. They are just going to leave me. Come on, faith is important in your life as a born-again believer. As a matter of fact, it says you can't even bring God joy without faith, right? It says it's only joy, it's only faith that pleases the God the Father. And he wants us to have that. The third thing is joy bearers seek out opportunities. Joy bearers seek out opportunities. Depressed and oppressed people, they generally go back into their little shells. Isn't that right? They just kind of start secluding themselves. You know, the people we bought our house from 15 years ago, a couple of their bedrooms were like just depressing, dark. And the daughter that lived in the house when we went there, when we went in there, I think it was maybe the first time, if you remember, Patricia, or else I'm just making this up for the story. She accused me of that once in a while. But she was sitting in the room, everything, all the blinds closed, in complete darkness in that room. And I thought, how could anybody? It was a nice, bright day. And so it's one of those things where how are you living your everyday life? How are you living your everyday life? Are you living in faith? Are you looking for the opportunities that God would have, the new possibilities that could be before you? Joy bearers take leaps of faith. They realize that there's some risk involved. And maybe you're here this morning, and I felt when I was perusing back through this morning that maybe you're here this morning, and God is wanting you to actually take a step of faith in something that you're doing or something you're involved in or something that he's been speaking to you about, but you've kind of been resisting, and you're just kind of staying back here. And he's saying, hey, I want you to take a step of faith and see if I have my joy being released inside of me. I am strong, I am strengthened, I am covered by him. And so I can take that step of faith. You know, I love the fact that Jesus did not rebuke Peter when he started to sink in the water. Remember that? He said, come on out of the boat, I need you to take the risk. He's preparing him for down the road. He said, get out of the boat. Remember, he got out of the boat and he was doing good, and then all of a sudden he started to sink. Well, Jesus didn't rebuke him. Somebody here needs to get, you got to get out of your boat. He's saying something to you and you know it, and it involves risk. It involves risk. But you can trust him. You can trust him. Joy bearers enrich others. Joy bearers enrich others. I just wonder, maybe just asking ourselves some of these questions. When was the last time you went out of your way to encourage somebody? Just to encourage them, just to build them up. And maybe just take a second. I want you to take a second and really think about it. Did you do it last week? Did you find somebody to encourage, enrich their lives just with words of encouragement? Or were you so consumed with your life, that pursuit of happiness, that you didn't do that? See, a person that's filled with joy, the joy of the Lord, is one that looks out for others. Just like God. He cares about you. And just like Jesus, for the joy set before him, he did something about that. He really did something about that. He didn't just think it was for him to be happy. Joy bearers are intentional. They're intentional. I wonder, even as we're starting to plan for, and I want to just bring this right down to earth. I'm not trying to sell you on anything. But I wonder, as we've been talking about this whole blessed to be a blessing, and we got families, we got 16 families that are going to be coming here, and we have maybe 5 other girls that are going to be coming here, that we would like to just bless them. They really just need it. They're in very difficult times and very hard times, and Jesus would want to bless them. But if I'm not intentional about it, I'll hear, Patricia was saying it, and it's probably kind of true. The announcements, you know, you just don't listen to them. And we just let things go by, and we just kind of get a little bit casual about it. And I just wonder if I could just challenge us up even about this blessed to be a blessing. Are you going to be intentional not only about being here, maybe bringing some family members, but also considering how can we bless these families way above and beyond like Jesus did for us? Amen. And again, there's never any pressure. We don't ever beg anybody to do anything. But I think the opportunity is there that we try to produce and make opportunities to reach people and reach the needy and spend our life doing something that God would want us to do it, so that we're not just in the pursuit of happiness. Joy bearers are approachable. They're generally speaking smiling. Will you look at your neighbor and smile just to practice? Come on, smile at him. See if it's a real smile now. Just investigate it. You know, how happy are you? Are you happy? Or are you all the time just walking around unhappy? If you're unhappy a lot, I just think, you know, just being real frank with you about it, you might be living in happiness and not in the Lord's joy. And this morning, he's going to release that in your life if you let him. Because it's there. It's already there. I think we've established that already. Joy bearers are encouragers. Joy bearers are forgivers. They really, really forgive. And some of these things that I guess as I was thinking about it, and you can just work with me on this. Some of these things that if I would activate them, they would show me where I was really at, but they also will release what's really in me. Does that make sense? Sometimes you have to just step out and you have to activate it. Ephesians says, let a man that steals, steal no more, but go get a job and work and then do the opposite and give. It's kind of a do the opposite principle. I have to do that, and sometimes I have to step into that. My words, if my words are constantly negative, I should probably just start practicing speaking positive words, right? And by doing that, I might break something in me and change something in me, because the Bible says it will be easy for people, and I think in particular in the last day, it will be easy for us to ever learn but never come to what? The knowledge of the truth. The knowledge of the truth is simply the intimacy of it. I really know the truth, and there's a relationship growing there, and something's happening inside of my life that's actually growing with it. But you can continue to learn and never come to the knowledge of God. And I think sometimes, and I, you know, just in my own life, I think, well, how many sermons have I heard? How many sermons have I preached? Which is worse than hearing sermons, because you got to study for them. And I'm still who I am. I'm like, wow. God, I just think you want to do more. I just have to make sure that I stay in tune with making sure that I'm learning and I'm growing and I'm coming to a knowledge of the truth that's really transforming me, because if I don't, that's never good. It's never good. And just the last one, I know I kind of jumped through these quickly, but I feel like the Holy Spirit is really wanting to minister this morning. I want to encourage you in just a minute. We're going to take a minute to do that. Joy bearers forgive past hurts and move beyond them. And then joy bearers also spread love. They spread love. They allow love to intentionally be given out. You realize when I'm thinking about some of this stuff, I'm thinking, wow, sometimes we miss it. We miss the forest for the trees, because Jesus just simply kept it simple and went around and shared love wherever he went. And I think he wants us as Christ followers, or Christians, which means little Christ, Christ followers, disciples. He wants you and I, when we leave this sanctuary, to go out there filled up and go out there and begin to permeate like leaven, permeate this culture, this society, and permeate the people around us. I believe that's what his heart would be for us, is that we're literally making a difference. And I think that now might be our best opportunity ever. There's a lot of change up going on in the world. It's time to start smiling. It's time to start letting that joy of the Lord get out of your system, because it'll help you and everybody that it touches. Amen? Would you stand to your feet? I want us to pause, and I want us to ponder this morning just maybe something the Lord would have spoken to you. Now, the cool thing about the Lord is when you come into his presence and you come into his sanctuary, this could have been, and maybe it was, the worst sermon you've ever heard. But we're not dependent on me. We're not dependent on how well I preach. We know that is good, but we're not dependent on that because the Holy Spirit is our teacher. And in His presence, you can receive so much more. And I have found for myself as I listen to sermons, sometimes it's just one thing He begins to highlight to me. And man, as I receive that in, wow, the transformation begins to happen. The overcoming begins to happen. Can I just say this right now, especially in this topic of joy? The world really needs it. There is so much frustration going on because people realize, I think, that there is no fulfillment in happiness and in the American dream. And we see this all around us. We see it. We see it in the election. We see it everywhere. And so now is the best time for us to let that joy affect me and my face and others. Because it's a supernatural thing, right? When they had the Ark of the Covenant and they carried it around, it was a supernatural presence of God. You are that Ark of the Covenant. You are the temple of what? Holy Spirit. You got to remind yourself that every day. So everywhere you go, you don't allow that intimidation that's in the principalities and the powers and in the atmosphere to suddenly just keep the cap on your joy and to keep the cap on your life. Let's pray. Let's pray. I want you to pray. I want you to just ask the Holy Spirit this morning to just do something to release a greater measure of joy. I see some people taking steps of faith. I actually see people coming off of, and I'm going to say this carefully, but I'm going to say it, medications for oppression and depression and those type of things. I see that happening. I do believe the scripture wholeheartedly. I don't believe in foolishness, but I do believe in the scripture. The joy of the Lord is my strength, and by faith we walk, and with God, nothing's impossible, and the merry heart does do good like a medicine. Father, this morning, I thank you this morning, God, that as we stand here in your presence before you, I pray that every person in this room will hear something from you. Maybe they're being challenged with one of these issues right today. God, you're not banging them around for it. You're just wanting to speak into our heart and spirit. And we just receive that from you today, God. We receive the very voice of God. You send your word and you heal. You send your word and you deliver. You send your word and you change our lives, God. And we're here this morning as the people of God, and we want to be ready and available for everything you need of us in this this very dark and just this very challenging day that we live in, God. Help us to be the dispensers of light and life, truth, and most of all, joy. And especially in this season when we are celebrating one of the greatest days in the history, when you chose to come down in the form of man for each and every one of us.